You know, as you read through the life of Jesus, he often used imagery of things that were very common to the people in those days to make some very important spiritual applications from them. And when you turn to John chapter 15, and I would invite you to turn your Bibles there this morning, he does just that again. Jesus takes something that was well known to them. He took a vine. And he made an application from that to say, I want you to understand that the fact that I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, he says, I want you to understand what that indicates about the relationship that you have with me. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand how intimate of a relationship that they, not just that they could have, how intimate of a relationship that Jesus wanted his disciples to have with him and that he was calling upon them to have with him. As you read through the life of Jesus, there are those times when he says things that just grab your attention. And here he was in the upper room in John chapter 15. He was going to leave this room, go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he would be betrayed by Judas. He would be taken, put on trial, denied by Peter three times. He would be scourged. He would be beaten. He would be hanged upon a tree. He would hang there for 6 hours for us. So John chapter 15, he's in his last hours. And he's looking at his disciples and he says, I want you to understand that although I am leaving, there is a relationship that we need to sustain, and I'm calling upon you to sustain that relationship with me. In John chapter 15, Jesus wants us, just as he wanted his apostles, to be fruitful. Be fruitful as Christians. What does that mean? What does it mean to be fruitful? I want us to just get into this passage this morning and allow it to teach us what it means for us to be fruitful in Christ. First thing we're going to see is that that is God's expectation. God's expectation for us is to bear fruit. Look in verse 2. That is emphatically what he's going to tell us in this passage, is that he wants us to bear fruit. What does that mean? To bear fruit. I'm not a tree. How am I supposed to bear fruit? He's taking some imagery. And he's making an application to us to say, I not only want you to bear fruit, he says in the next verse, I want you to bear what? More fruit. I don't just want you to bear fruit. I want things to transpire in your life so that you can bear more fruit. Don't just get satisfied with where you are. Don't just say, I'm doing enough for the Lord. Jesus wants you to do more. Look down in verse 5. If you thought bearing fruit was good enough, if you thought bearing more fruit was good enough, what does he say in verse 5? I want you to bear much fruit. I don't know where you are in your Christian service this morning, but Jesus says, I want you to do more. Jesus says, I want you to do more. Much. We're going to talk about what this fruit might be and what it is that he's calling upon us to bear. But this is a time for us to look inwardly this morning and to say, where am I in my relationship with the Lord? And it's interesting, as you begin looking at this fruit, there's no doubt that Jesus wants his disciples to bear the same fruit. How do we know that? When God created trees back in Genesis chapter 1, do you know that when God created the trees, that he made the trees with a fruit that would bear according to its kind? Have you ever gone up to an apple tree expecting to find a watermelon on it? Wouldn't that be a funny tree? Have you ever gone up to an orange tree expecting to find some sort of a pumpkin on it? I mean, it's the same color after all. So you go to an orange tree and say, well, I think I'll find a pumpkin here today. No. Trees bear the same kind of fruit. That's the way God made them. Jesus says, I am the vine. What sort of fruit does Jesus expect to come forth from that vine? The very same fruit. The same vine is going to produce the same type of fruit. Not different types of fruit. It is unfortunate, it is highly unfortunate that some people have come to John chapter 15 and they've tried to make what Jesus says fit what they want it to say. That's a backwards way of coming to the Bible and understanding it. But some have come to John chapter 15 and they've tried to make the branches. When Jesus says, in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches, some have come to that and they want the branches to be all of the different denominations that are out there in the world. That Jesus is the vine and all of these different branches that are coming off, they're just all the different denominations that exist today. Is that what fits in John chapter 15? There weren't any denominations in existence in John chapter 15. There wouldn't be denominations in existence for hundreds of years. And when Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches, he's looking at his disciples right in the eye. Disciples, Christians, God's people are the branches. And all the branches are the same fruit. The same vine, Jesus, does not produce different churches, different branches that all have different fruits and different teachings. Jesus is the vine and he wants all of his children to bear the same fruit. But what is that fruit? What is the fruit that God wants his people to bear? If you were to look up the word fruit in the New Testament, obviously it's a metaphor. God is not wanting you to bear a pumpkin or to bear a pineapple. That's not what God is talking about. But the word fruit is used to talk about what are the results of what we're doing. What is it that is coming forth from our efforts as a Christian? And so the word fruit is used a number of different ways to talk about what we as Christians are to produce. You might know one of the most well-known, at least, in Galatians chapter 5. That God wants us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to bear Christian character. God wants you to put forth love and joy and peace. That's what God is looking for us in our relationship with Him, is love and joy and peace. In our relationship with our brethren, He's looking for long-suffering, kindness and goodness. Is that the fruit that you're bearing this morning towards your brothers and sisters in Christ? Towards others, are you long-suffering? Are you kind? Are you showing forth goodness? That's the fruit. And He wants us to bear much of it and to bear more of it. As we look inside of us and look at what do I need to be doing to increase my own faith and increase my own fervor for the Lord? He wants us to bear not only long-suffering and kindness and goodness, but gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. How are you doing in those nine areas of bearing the fruit that God wants us to bear as His children? But it's not just the conduct, it's not just our character that He's looking for us to develop. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, a fruit that He wants us to bear is the fruit of holiness. God does not want you to look like everybody else. Just because everybody else is wearing that, just because everybody else is going there, just because everybody else is saying these kind of things, doesn't mean that the child of God needs to be doing those things. God has called us to holiness. How are we doing in bearing the fruit of holiness? Where we're trying to be more like God than we are trying to be like everybody else around us. Be ye holy, he says, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's a fruit that God is looking for us to bear. He's looking for us to bear the fruit of righteousness. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11 talks about bearing that the fruits of righteousness. Where I strive to do what is right. Where I strive to do what is fair and just in my treatment of other people. I'm not looking for my own favoritism in this. I'm trying to do what's right because God has told me what is right. How are we doing in bearing that fruit in our relationship with others? God calls upon us to bear the fruit of good works. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 talks about this fruit, that I go forth, and what do I do in my life? I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to put forth good works, striving in every way to give honor and glory to my God. There's four different things that ought to challenge us as Christians. Four things by which we ought to look at this and say, how am I doing in bearing fruit in these areas? How am I doing in bearing more and much fruit in my Christian character, my holiness, and my righteousness, and in my good works? But when I read John chapter 15, I think Jesus is talking about different kind of fruit here. All of these would have application. And all of these are fruits that the Christian needs to bear. But Jesus was getting ready to leave. He's looking at his disciples. And he's looking at these 12 men to whom he is going to depend to spread the gospel, to depend to spread the good news, to depend upon them to teach others what they needed to do in order to become a child of God. So I believe when Jesus is talking about fruit in John chapter 15, he's talking about the fruit of helping others to come to know Christ, to help others to come to obey the gospel of Christ and to grow in their relationship with Him. If you look up the word fruit in your New Testament, you're going to find it used a number of times in that very way. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul says, if I keep on living in the flesh, if I stay here, if I don't die, if I keep living, what's it going to mean? Fruit from my labor. What was Paul's labor? Teaching the gospel to every creature. And so as Paul was preaching the gospel and helping people to understand the gospel, they were being born again. They were becoming children of God, and that was the fruit of the gospel. In the very same book in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says it again, that he was looking for the fruit that would abound to their account, that people were coming to know the gospel and that people were continuing to grow in their faith in the gospel. Brother and sister in Christ, that's the fruit that God is looking for us to bear more and much of. How are you and I doing in helping other people to come to know the gospel? How are you and I doing in taking the seed of the gospel and planting it, spreading it, sending it forth upon the souls and the hearts of individuals that we know, so that perhaps that seed might find good soil and produce fruit? That's our responsibility. That's our task. And we cannot consider ourselves to be a faithful child of God. We cannot consider ourselves to be a faithful branch on the vine of Jesus if we are not bearing fruit. That's God's expectation. When in John chapter 15, Jesus is getting ready to go and to leave the earth, and he's turning everything over essentially to these men with his help and with the guidance of the Word of God that would come upon them, he wants them to understand that the very purpose that they have is the very purpose that a branch has. What's the purpose of a branch on an apple tree? What's the purpose of a branch on an orange tree? To bear fruit. What's the purpose of a Christian? It's to bear fruit. And if I'm not bearing fruit for my Lord, I'm not functioning as God wants me to function. That's God's expectation. But as I continue to read in this passage, God not only shows me what His expectation is, He shows me what's the condition. What's the condition in which I need to be in order to bear the kind of fruit that God wants me to bear? First of all, we see in this passage that I've got to be in Christ in order to bear fruit for Him. If you were to read through these first eight verses here, you would find the little word in 10 times. You think, well, the little word in is awfully insignificant. It's not. Look in verse 2. Every branch in me. Look in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Look at the end of verse 4. Unless it abides in the vine, unless you abide in me. Look in verse 5. He who abides in me. Do you see the word over and over talking about not not just an insignificant word, but it's talking about a word that this is an intimate relationship. I can't just say I know Jesus, I've heard of Jesus. I've got to be in Christ in order for me to do what God wants me to do. Just the same as a branch has got to be in the vine in order for that branch to even have life. You know, a branch has no life in and of itself unless that branch is in the vine. It draws its very source of life from the vine. Same thing for us. We cannot live, we cannot grow as a Christian disconnected from Christ. We had a truck drive through our parking lot last week and totally tore off a limb of one of these trees that was out here. Apparently that limb was hanging a little too low. The limbs need to get up higher and they can get out of the way of those trucks that drive through. But totally ripped that limb right off, and it laid out in the parking lot for a few days until somebody decided, well, I need to move this branch. But what's going to happen to that branch? It's dead. Why? Because it's not in the tree anymore. It's lost its source of life. What happens to us if we are not in Christ? What happens to us if we lose our source of life? What happens to us if we lose that connection? The Bible says that for me to even be saved, I've got to be in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 says that salvation is in Christ. Does that mean I can be saved outside of Christ? No. There is no salvation outside of Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12, the Bible says that there's no other name other than Christ. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. No salvation without Christ. And I can't serve Him faithfully if I'm not in Him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why are we created in Christ Jesus? According to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. That's why we're here. That's why God has put us on this earth, is to serve Him, is to be in Him. That's the condition we've got to meet. Question this morning is, are you in Christ? There's no way we can be fruitful. There's no way we can be faithful. There's no way we can be acceptable to God if we're not in Christ. Are you in Christ? The Bible says there's only one way into Christ. You know, if you were coming to West Palm Beach, there's a whole lot of ways you could get to West Palm Beach, isn't there? You could drive here. You could fly here. You could bring a boat here. You could bring a spaceship here. You could come in all sorts of different ways. You could walk here. You could dig a tunnel if you had scuba gear and come here. But to get to Christ, oh, there's only one way to get to Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, one of the two verses, Romans 6 and verse 3 is the other one, that says the only way I get into Christ is that I've got to be baptized into Christ. Having faith in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, making up my mind, I don't want to live in sin anymore, I want to turn my life over to the Lord. I can be baptized at that point into Christ. And because that's the only way into Christ, I'm not going to find a different path to get into Him. Are you in Christ this morning? Have you been baptized into Christ this morning? That's the only way that I can have that intimate relationship with Him. That's the only way that I can learn to be fruitful in my service to the Lord. And as I consider whether or not I am in Christ, I need to understand that to be in Christ is the same thing as to be in His church. Here's an interesting thing for you to consider this morning. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says that when I follow God's plan of salvation, I am baptized into Christ. You got that? Galatians 3 verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says that when I follow God's plan of salvation and I'm baptized, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, I am baptized into one body. What's the body? The body is His church, Colossians 1 verse 18 says. So the Bible says, when I follow His plan of salvation, I'm baptized into Christ. When I follow God's plan of salvation, I'm baptized into His one church. I can't be fruitful to God. I cannot be faithful to my God if I'm not in Christ. Nor can I be if I am not in His church. They are one in the same. I can't be in His church unless I'm in Christ. I can't be in Christ unless I am in His church. Are you in Christ this morning? Are you in His church this morning? Following His plan of salvation, being baptized into Christ, that He added you unto His church, Acts 2 and verse 47. That's the condition in order for us to be fruitful for Him. But can I share with you that this passage says I've got to be more than just in Him? Somebody says, yep, I got in Him. I was baptized into Christ 20 years ago. Fantastic. This passage says you've got to do more than just be in Him. You've got to abide in Him. If you go just in these first 8 verses and you start reading, you're going to find the word abide 7 times in these 8 verses. That's a key word in this text. Not just to be in Christ, but I've got to abide in Christ. The word means to stay there. I've got to remain there. I've got to sustain my union with Him. You think about a branch. And a branch can only live if it abides in the vine. But the purpose of a branch is more than just to live. The purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. A branch can only bear fruit if it abides in the vine. What's going to happen to that branch that was cut off of that tree this past week? Is it going to be able to bear fruit? Is it going to be able to live? No, not at all. What about a child of God? Where do I find the ability? Where do I find my strength? How can I know if I am abiding in the vine? What does this text say? Number one, for me to abide in Him means I've got to let His Word abide in me. Look in verse 4. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you. How do you know if Jesus is abiding in you? Look in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him. There it is again. How do I know if Jesus is abiding in me? I've got to abide in Him. How do I know if He's abiding in me? Look in verse 7. He tells us the answer. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. How does Jesus come to make His abode in us? I've got to follow His plan of salvation, be baptized into Christ, get into Christ, and then I've got to abide in Christ by letting His words abide in me. How much Bible study do you do? How often are you spending time getting the Word of God to abide in you? I cannot say that I abide in Christ and therefore can be fruitful to Him if I am not having His Word to come and take up its home in me and to abide in me. But not just for His Word to abide in me. Verse 10 says, I've got to obey what is abiding in me. I've got to have His Word abide in me. I've got to obey it. And then I've got to do all that I can to live by it, to share it. And as you look in verses 2 and 3, to even let God prune me. Is that a weird concept to you? What does it mean for God to prune me? What does somebody do? Look in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Now He's talking about you. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned. What? You are already clean because of the Word. What's going on? What happens with a plant? Some of you are very good. Some of you have got a green thumb. I don't have a green thumb. My thumbs aren't very good at being green. Some of you have got to, you know what it means to help a plant, to help it to grow. What do? You come along and, well, there's these dead leaves. There's these dead parts. Well, I'm just going to let that stay there. You know, it looks kind of pretty. You know, it's green and then it's brown. That's kind of, no, what do? To help it to grow and to flourish and to become even more beautiful, what do? You come along and you take out those dead spots. You come along and take out those parts that are no longer growing as they should. And all of a sudden, what does the plant do? It's like it picks up speed. It's like it says, thank you very much for cleaning those spots out. And it grows even more. What happens when we get the Word of God inside of us? What happens when we let the Word of God clean us out? What happens when we let the Word of God prune us from our sins, from the guilt of our sins? What happens when we let the Word of God get into us and take away all of our fears, take away all of our worries, take away all of our anxieties? What happens when I get the Word of God inside of me and all of a sudden the world has nothing left to give? It has no pure delights because I'm trying the life that a Christian lives and I'm getting the Word of God inside of me and all of a sudden it's cleaning me, it's pruning me. Sometimes it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes I've got to make changes where, well, I wasn't ready to make that change. But when I make that change, what does it help me to do as a Christian? To grow just like that plant does. To become even more beautiful. To become even more fruitful in my service. What areas are there today that you and I need to let the Word of God clean us out? What things are there in our lives today that we need to let the Word of God be planted within us and to prune us of some of those dead spots, some of those things that are keeping us from truly being fruitful in our service to the Lord? You see, that answer, the answer to that question is different for every single one of us. But yet, when I come to this passage, one of the conditions of me being fruitful, I've got to abide in Him. I've got to let His Word get inside of me and change me from the inside out. Is that where you are in your relationship with Christ this morning? Are we as beautiful? Are we as fruitful as we ought to be? I want us to see in this text that we not only see God's expectation and God's condition, but this text gives us God's admonition. This text gives us a very stern warning about not being fruitful. It's not just enough to be in Him. The fact that God in this passage tells us to abide in Him tells us that there's something for us to do, but it also indicates that I might not do it. The fact that He has to command me to abide in Him indicates that I've got a choice here. And I might not choose to do this. Is it possible for a branch to be severed from the vine? Is that possible? That truck this week proved that to be true. That truck driving through the parking lot this week proved that it's possible for a branch to be severed from the vine. Is it possible for me, as a child of God? Is it possible for me to be severed from my vine? Look at what Jesus says here. Look in verse 2. Every branch, not some, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. If I am not being fruitful in my service to the Lord, I am no good to Him. I've got to be in Him, be abiding in Him, and being fruitful in my service. And if I'm not, I'm no good. He takes it away. What happens to those branches that are taken away? Look in verse 6. Verse 6 is one of the strongest verses you're going to read from the lips of Jesus, talking about what happens to somebody that's not useful, is not fruitful to God. If anyone does not abide in me, this branch that he takes away is thrown away. The branch is taken away from the vine and it is thrown away. It is cast out as a branch. Well, what happens to it when it's cast out? Look, keep reading. It is cast out as a branch and is withered. It loses its source of life, and now it's withered. What happens to that which has been cast out and is withered? In verse 6, it says, they gather them. What happens once they're gathered? They're gathered and they are thrown into the fire, and they are burned. Does that get your attention? that God is admonishing me, God is warning me. David, it's not just enough to say, yep, I got baptized about 20, 30 long years ago, whatever it was, and I got baptized into Christ, and that's good enough. No, David, that's not good enough. You've got to abide in Christ, letting the Word of God abide in you, changing you from the inside out, finding things that need to be purged from your life by the Word of God and getting rid of those and doing that so that you can be fruitful, so that you can bear Christian character and holiness and righteousness and good works, so that you can bring others to know the Lord. And David, if you're not doing that, David, if you're not bearing fruit, you're useless to me. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be cast out. You're going to be withered. And the day will come at the end of time where you will be gathered up, David, and you will be thrown into the fire. Verse 6 gets my attention. Verse 6, Jesus says, David, you need to wake up. It's not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to say, yep, I got baptized. Yep, I'm a Christian. Verse 6, Jesus says, David, you've got to bear fruit. You've got to be diligent in your service, and especially in this text, you've got to be bringing others to the Lord. What purpose does a branch on an orange tree have other than to bear fruit? What purpose do I have as a branch in the vine of Christ other than to bear fruit by helping others to come to know the Lord? The Bible teaches in this text and throughout the New Testament, it is absolutely possible for me to get into Christ and to become a Christian and to actually fall away and be lost. This text teaches it. I cannot be cut off from something that I was never in. I had to be in it to be cut off. I cannot wither if I never had life to begin with. But this is showing that I can be very much a part of Christ and lose that salvation if I'm not fruitful. Jesus is pleading with us to endeavor to be faithful to Him. Where are you today in your service to the Lord? Are you meeting God's expectation? Are you bearing fruit and more fruit and much fruit? Are you heeding God's condition? Are you in Christ today? There's one way to get into Him, by being baptized into Christ. Are you abiding in Christ, being faithful in His service? Are you bearing fruit? Are you heeding God's admonition as a Christian that if you are not faithful to Him, that you are not useful to Him? Be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. What if I'm not faithful? What if I'm not fruitful? Then I will not receive the crown of life. What is our aspiration in serving the Lord? To abide in Him, to bear fruit? Yes, but why? Look at this in verse 8. Number one, why am I doing all of this? Because I want to glorify God. That ought to be our number one motivation in life, is to glorify God. And that's what Jesus said in verse 8, is the purpose of all of this, is to glorify God. And then number two, to prove that you are a disciple of Christ. How do I know if I'm a disciple of Christ? I've got to be in Christ, abiding in Christ, and bearing fruit in Christ. I'm doing that so that I can show that I'm a disciple of Christ. But before and number one in all of that is I'm doing it because I want to glorify God. This world places all sorts of demands on us. You got to go to school. Well, at least for another week or so, right? And then you get out. I got to go to work. Got to do this. I got to do that. I got to pay the bills. I've got to do... The world puts all sorts of demands on us. It takes our attention away from where it should be. Our number one goal in this life ought to be to glorify God in everything that we do. And one way, the way we do that, is to be fruitful in His service. Would you look inside of you this morning and ask yourself, how fruitful am I? What am I doing in serving the Lord? What more can I do? And how much more can I do? And may we leave here today determined even more to be a branch in the vine of Christ with full recognition that without Him, we can do nothing. Are you in Christ this morning? Have you partaken of God's salvation? We've talked about how you do this. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Repent of your sins, turn away from wrong, confess your faith in Jesus, and to be baptized into Christ, not because some man or some church told you to do it, but because the man, the head of the church, told you to do it. Be baptized into Christ. Have every sin forgiven. Let Him add you to His church and roll your name in heaven. And then from that day forward, to be a fruitful, faithful disciple of Christ. Is that where you are today? If that's not where you are, then we encourage you to come. We're going to sing a song to encourage you. If you need to make your life right with the Lord this day, then come right now as together we stand and sing.